Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy. And time you checked out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sport suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia. Welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Good afternoon, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hi, guys.
Here we go. Strap yourself in, people. It's been a rocky road on the stock market. Mm. Jane, you've got $10 million worth of shares.
Here we go. But it has been a bloodbath on the ASX, and we're going to find out who's the winners and who's the losers. Not many winners.
I love a trade war. It's all good, isn't it?
I've got another chick flick alert. This one, I know I've had one this week, but we're in danger of being inundated with hideous chick flick of films that are going to be on.
Okay.
I'll give you that update. Kyrgios has chucked another wobbly.
Sure. Okay.
Yes, he's called an umpire a bleeping tool.
Gone wild, full as a goog.
It is today.
We'll be doing that. Can't wait.
We'll love doing that. We have incredible special guests actually today. It's the big stuff. We're going to speak with Paul Kelly.
Good Lord.
And Paul Kelly is going to play.
He's going to knock out a tune.
Well, one of my all-time favourite films, How to Make Songs. Yeah. How to Make Gravy.
Can't wait.
And the great Jim Jefferies from LA, from LA.
Let's go, Jim. Beautiful.
We're going to chat with him. He's been up to a bit
lately.
There
you go. Sounds like a show to me.
Very busy show.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. What could go wrong?
Now, I'm going out tonight, and I'll fill you in. I'm going out to a premiere of a show.
What?
I'm taking two of my kids.
What are you going to see?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, there you go.
Awesome.
Yes, that will be good.
Well, my boys would like to have gone to that. Why didn't I get invited to the opening?
You probably did. You just didn't know.
You've got a TV show on tonight,
my boys would love to go to that.
You're working on the telly on the front bar.
I'm quite happy to send them along on their own.
I'm not going to be a babysitter for four kids, but I'll go and sit there.
Thanks for nothing.
What did you do last night? You were out in the town doing something very special.
No, I was at a screening of my new film.
Mm. Your film?
My film.
What's it called?
Rides Like a Girl.
Ride Like a Girl.
Ride Like a Girl. And
it's in cinemas, by the way, on the 26th of September.
So I was in a screening. So I was sitting in a cinema on my own watching this.
No way.
Just on your own.
Felt like I was watching a film Madonna was in.
That's a bit Citizen Kane of you, isn't
that's
it?
That's the way I like it.
Just sit like Orson Welles and
I tell you something?
Watch your own movie.
I was very good. I was really, really good.
Didn't even get to ask you.
Rest of the cast, hammy. I saved it. It's like just when you go, oh, my God, is Sam Neill gurning? Well, is he just a gurning fool?
From the trailer, there's a bit of ham going on, isn't it,
and
with
then
you?
Me? No. And then I come in and, as I said, flutter of programs, and you start going, ooh, now we've got their attention.
We haven't played the trailer for a while. Can we play the trailer to remind people of it coming up?
Okay, because
it
is. Right. This is a very good film.
Horse gallops with his lungs, he perseveres with his heart, and he wins with his character.
You're riding slow, pick it up.
I want to ride Group 1s, I want to be the best.
Hi, I'm Michelle Payne. I'm a jockey, I'm available for track work.
Who's that riding your horse, baby?
A woman jockey.
A girl's never going to win the Melbourne Cup, mate.
Get off me!
Get back to where you belong!
You must be exhausted.
Work twice as hard and get half the ride.
The only thing that matters is the odds you give yourself.
Dial it down a notch, Neil.
Listen.
That's because I saved him. It's like a two-hander.
Is this really how it works? Because my impression is...
He gets a bit more screen time, maybe.
My impression is that it's pretty much Sam, the star of the film.
Well, it would be. He's
and who's the beautiful
superstar.
Girl playing Michelle Teresa Payne?
Palmer. Teresa very,
Palmer.
Very, very good.
She's just had another baby too, by the way.
I spoke to Rachel last night after the screening.
This is Rachel Griffiths,
and she
who's the director.
Agreed. She said she had to cut out a lot of my scenes because they were too powerful. They were too powerful.
Is that how they do
And
it?
They made Sam look, what's the word she used? Pedestrian. So for that reason.
You're so disrespectful.
And you know what else she said?
What?
I don't like saying this because it makes me sound good.
Say it anyway.
But she said, Mick, you're my muse. And like she uses
me sound like Rachel
as a vessel for her to paint this magic.
Maybe Rachel felt sorry for you
on the big screen.
And wanted to give you a role
in a
movie.
Why can't you support me in anything
because
I do?
Because you're a bit uppity about it.
What's the role you play though? Because it's a pivotal character, isn't it, in the movie? Like it's a really important
is it one of the,
part of the main.
I play like a, it's like an overweight, nasty misogynist.
Right.
I don't know how you possibly got yourself ready for that
role. I'm a chameleon. I can do
that
it
That is challenging.
All.
You deserve to get an AFI award for that.
Do you know, I want my only criticism.
What?
Not enough Shetlands. I just feel...
Hey, who plays Stevie Payne, the strapper?
This is really poorly cast.
What?
Stevie plays Stevie.
Oh, awesome.
Just not, just not convincing to me.
Stevie does a great job.
That is
great. All right, look, so you've said... let's be serious,
just
please.
Before we get there.
It's a good film.
Say, look, I preferred a simpler time when women rode side saddle. That's all I'm going to say. But yes, in your post,
Dave, don't encourage
in your post hashtag Me Too world, if you want to go along and see a great Australian film, I really liked it. I mean, let's
okay.
go. I'm in one.
All jokes aside.
All jokes aside. I mean,
you really enjoyed. You said you really enjoyed it.
I thought it's a great film. People will love it.
Well, isn't that great? I'm very proud of you.
Do you know what I wanted to do? I wish I had a daughter because there's such a great relationship between Sam.
That's a lovely thing.
Neil
to say.
And
so he plays Paddy Payne, doesn't he? Like the father.
He does.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a really good film. It's
go along and
have a look. It's good fun. It's an Australian film.
You've got to go out and see. Now, if you don't get off your bottom and go and see these films, then they don't stay on at the cinema. It's very simple, and they get bombarded by the big Marvel movies and everything.
Yeah.
And don't, you know,
support.
And ladies, when I come on, support. No tampering with yourselves. Just keep it tidy.
You just say that on the air?
What are you talking about?
Tidy. I'm just...
Honestly, if only you just had a healthy ego, it would be really refreshing.
All right. Well,
we're going to talk about...
You know what I mean? I'm a big
You're a big
character.
Rat for yourself.
I'm a big character.
Yes. All right.
All right. Well, thanks to the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat Play.
Right, my apologies. When's it out?
It's out in
26th of September, people.
Let's get Rachel on the show.
All right.
Paul Kelly live, Jim Jefferies soon, and we'll talk finance. Big day in the stock markets right after this.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The great Jim Jefferies going to join us in the second hour live from LA. We've got Paul Kelly playing live for us soon. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy.
Jane, we cover
Kennedy.
A bit of ground, don't we?
Man, that's awesome.
Jim Jefferies in LA, Paul Kelly playing live. Wait till I introduce you to our next guest. Dow Jones has, crapped its pants.
Yes.
Basically... Bang, in the cellar.
Down the toilet. Worst session this year.
Overnight, stock exchange tumbles, $50 billion worth of losses.
Now, is that...
US, there's a trade war going on between China and the US. Trump. I fear the hand of Trump.
I fear that he's niggling China a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Possibly. So your family trust will be in a big time. What are you, third generational wealth?
As if.
What do you get left when you... Is it all tied up?
My parents will be laughing right now to hear you say that.
You are a trust fund baby.
I'm
we
not
know
a trust
that,
fund
come
baby.
On, Jane. You live in
How
a leafy
ridiculous.
Suburb. You've driver people move it.
People move it.
Dave, you have shares?
I do have shares.
Well,
and superannuation.
Well,
as well,
we all have shares one way or the other, and
we've encouraged people to get super because that's what we're trying
to do. That's what
we're
trying to do.
It could be in a little bit of trouble.
Well, you just don't want to have to cash it in now. I'm guessing. Why don't we get to the bottom of this with someone who knows more than us?
Is that possible?
Well, he's worked at the Australian Treasury.
Oh, yeah.
The Australian Financial Review. Well, very hoity-toity.
Right, yeah.
Now at news.com.au and crikey. He's an economist. Make him welcome. It's Jason Murphy. How are you, Jace?
Very good, Mick. How are you?
Good. Am I painting a promising picture? Where are we at? Is it batten down the hatches time or panic? I'd like an economist to say just once, panic.
Yeah, time to panic. It is a bloodbath out there on the stock market today. The American markets went down 3%, and then the Australian markets did the exact same thing, dumped 3% of the value, which is huge. That is a really, really
and the underlying
fall.
Reason, what is it?
Oh, everyone is worried that the US economy is going to go into a recession, and those fears are getting real and they're getting serious, and people are starting to sell their shares and get
is
out. If
off
they
the
can.
Back of his trade war? Is this off the back of the trade war with China?
Yeah, you said that before, that you sense it might have been Trump, and you're dead right. It's all about this trade war.
And why today? Has something sparked it specifically off today?
No, it was just sort of like there'd been this eerie calm for a little while, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just happened. Everyone decided last night was the day on Wall Street, and it went to
now. How will this affect the mums and dads of Australia?
Yeah, if you have super, this matters to you because all our super that we stock away a little bit every paycheck, ends up invested by those funds in shares, whether it's Australian ones or American ones. And I tell you what, if what I would not recommend is logging into your super account tonight and having a look at it when you get home, because that is going to make you feel glum if you do that.
Oh, no. Oh,
that's sad.
I'm going to do it. Don't. I'm going to do it.
Just well, no cashing in today.
What's a good investment in these times? When the crap hits the fan and the economy carks it, what's usually hit elastic?
It's hard to find a good one in these times. I tell you what, a lot of people bought into Bitcoin recently. Even I bought a little bit of that. And
did you?
I tell you what, it has gone badly.
What's it now? What's it worth now, Bitcoin?
Oh, I think it's gone back under $10,000. I've only got a fraction of one, so I haven't lost too much. But
why are we doing an economic report with a guy who's bought into Bitcoin?
No, I like the fact you said just a little bit, because I think that's, as an economist, you wanted to really live it and keep it real for everybody who's done it. Is that right?
Yeah, I bought a little bit just as a trial,
of course,
to see how it was all going.
But what about gold? Should we be buying up gold bars?
Yes, keep your gold bars, because in these bad times, that's what goes up. The gold bugs, all the people that are, petrified that the global economy is going to collapse, they buy into gold. And so when times get rough, it's gold that sort of proves to be the safe asset.
What about ostrich farms? are they good? Is it ostrich farms good? Alpaca?
Alpacas and ostriches.
And ostriches are good.
Avocados.
Avocados, mate. Did you hear that, Jason?
Yeah, totally.
He's just dumbfounded that somebody asked him about avocados.
Hey, mate, can I ask you, whatever happened to the rogue trader? I'd love to be a rogue trader. That'd be fun, wouldn't it, to be able to bring down an entire economy just by, from in-house. You can say it's a trade war or whatever, but this would be a lot more fun if one guy had started it.
I would love to find that there's one bloke to blame, because then we could kick him out and get everyone back on track. But
do you think things will, tomorrow, the next day, things sort of hopefully will even themselves out a bit and we can have a bit of a sigh of relief, can we?
Half glass
full.
That's
the funny thing about panic is most of the time you panic too much, and, that's the thing that people do with their super is they put all their money into cash the day the share market goes down, and then the very next day it all goes back up and they're left feeling a bit stupid. So you do want to be careful.
This is when I attack the market.
That's
I attack in
right.
times of
bullish.
Panic.
I get
really strong on stuff right now. You don't care, do you, Jason?
The thing about predicting the share market, Nick, is a bit like predicting the footy. If you're too confident, you're going to get egg on your face.
Well, Tigers will win the flag.
What would Axon Billions do? Do you watch Billions?
I haven't seen it, no.
Ah, well, there you go. He's got his bolt of gold going.
Go home, take your money out of the bank, put it under the bed, poke a shotgun
and
out
panic.
The window and panic. Is your advice, James? Jason?
Invest in bottled water and ammo. That's my advice.
Good on you, Jason.
Thank
you.
Thanks for the update. There it is.
Bye-bye.
It's all happening.
Jason's got a book out too, Incentivology. You can go to booktopia.com.au.
That'll survive the recession.
It will.
Indeed. Jason Murphy there.
Should
Good
be shifting
you.
A few units right now.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Soon Paul Kelly will be in here playing live How to Make Gravy, announcing his national tour. I'll have all the details on that. Then Jim Jefferies in the second hour as well.
We've
this is Kennedy
covered.
Malloy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
The other day we had a chick flick alert.
Yes,
because,
we did.
Well, you would have heard. We have our intro for chick flick alert.
You ready
this
for
is
it?
What you heard, yep.
This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning, warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Well, there was good reason for that, because Downton Abbey, the movie... the trailer
Shocking.
Hit
one of the worst
hit the internet. Can we have a little taste of what the Downton Abbey trailer is?
No maid, no valet, no nanny even.
It's 1927. We're modern folk.
The king and queen are coming to Downton.
What? How's it all going?
Mary's got it under control.
Hardly. I need your help, Carson.
I think we've got the idea.
We've
got the idea.
Shocking.
So, yes.
We dealt with that?
I can't even deal with that film. Well, I'm afraid. Hot off the presses, this dropped today. Mm. Now, do you know the name Louisa May Alcott?
No idea who you're talking about.
Well,
no.
I would say 50% of our audience do.
Right.
Because she wrote a story called Little Women.
Warning! Chick flick alert!
This is one of the most loved movie books of all time for girls. Okay. One of my favourites.
All right.
And the trailer's just dropped and it involves Meryl Streep.
Oh,
here
God.
It is, the trailer for Little Women.
I'm working on a novel. It is a story of my life and my sister's. I want to be an artist in Rome and be the best painter in the world.
That's what you want too, isn't it, Joe, to be a famous writer?
Yes, but it sounds so crass when she says, I intend to make my own way in the world.
No one makes their own way, least of all a woman. You'll need to marry well.
Wow. You're not married, aren't you?
Well, that's because I'm rich.
Joe, would you like to dance?
Okay. All right, I think you get the idea.
Give that a wide berth.
They sound like women that would appeal to you, Mick, because they're sisters who are brought up in the 1860s in the US during the Civil War. Joe, my favourite. Meg.
Hot? Are they hot?
Yeah.
Well, one is.
Right.
Joe, Meg, Amy and
is there
Beth.
Any nudity?
No. Mm. This is the seventh filmed version of Little Women.
What?
That there is. Judy Garland was in one version, let me tell you.
It's that old.
It's that old. There's two silent versions of Little Women.
Oh, God.
So it's a very old book and it's very beloved.
Silent with no pictures.
Yeah, silent. Sounds
like one to see.
This is for Netflix, though.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so this is the next. Anyway. I thought you might like to hear about
Crikey.
The.
There it is. You've been warned, gentlemen.
Yes.
You have been warned.
All right, we're going to come back with more, including Paul Kelly, who's going to play live. He's setting up here soon.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Evidence of spoiled children is something that, you know, kids are hard enough to deal with at the best of times. Sport ones in particular get my goat. There's a story that's emanating out of India. Well, let's see how the news service has handled it.
The 22-year-old man from India, he received a brand new BMW as a birthday gift. He wasn't happy with it because he wanted a Jaguar. So what did he do? He pushed the BMW into a river.
Wow. As you would.
What an idiot.
I mean, if you're expecting a Jaguar and all you got was a BMW, I'm surprised he didn't set it on
this
fire
first.
This
is fantastic,
first,
isn't it?
Pop his parents in the boot, then push it into the river.
I'd take the BMW.
I know some kids who are very young,
right?
Who can, in the back of a car and in traffic, can tell you and name the value of every car worth over $150,000.
Really?
Yeah, and they're about eight.
Mm.
Pleasant, that's good parenting, isn't it?
This guy didn't like the car, the police official said, because he kept insisting that it was too small for him and his friends. And the father even said, I wanted to give my son a birthday present. We could only afford to give him a BMW. And he kept insisting he'd be given a Jaguar.
We should be doing this in bad parenting.
Yes.
Because that's bad parenting.
How dare you do that?
You should be able to get to
the
bottom of
it. You've given your kid a car. How dare you?
Terrible stuff.
I know.
133353. Yeah. By the way, spoiled kids. This is a good topic.
Well,
how do you know when a kid's spoiled? Is there any evidence of that? I know kids who think everyone on a plane gets pajamas.
Is that right?
Well, that's
everyone on a plane gets pajamas because apparently that's all they've ever done is wear pajamas when they get on a plane. Which means you're either in business. Or. Yeah. You're up the point here.
I've got a similar story. A famous actor I know, he said that his children, who were very small, by the time they were 10, they'd only ever turned left when they got onto an aeroplane. They'd never gone the other way.
That's a good example right there. Your kids would be spoiled.
Mate, they're not, mate. I drive a Hyundai Getz, and I said to my daughter, who's about to turn 16 and get her learners, I said, that'll be your car, so you know. I'll gift that to you. So, BMW for
her.
Sure.
No BMW. We've got Brad on the line. Hey, Brad. You know your kids. You know your kids are spoilt when?
When mummy and daddy drops them at school so they don't have to walk and get their feet cold.
Oh, hang on, Brad. Where are you calling us from? The 1800s. I mean, kids.
I'm old school, Mickey.
You're old school. Where do you live, mate?
I am Bayswater.
Out in Bayswater. All right, well. And how far do they have to walk? Your kids?
3 Ks.
Oh, 3 Ks.
What are you talking about?
You know what? When schools...
Just can't knock down a few schools around the area.
Brad, when schools make school bags that are all right for kids to carry, then they should be able to walk. But they're so stupidly designed and heavy that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. They're like a backpack now.
They are. Massive. Heavy old backpack. Thanks, Brad. Let's go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
How you going, guys?
You know your kid's spoilt when...
The boss's son thinks $1,000 from the ATO is not enough to do anything with.
$1,000?
Say again, when who thinks it's not enough? The boss's son?
The boss's son doesn't think a grand's enough to get anything with from the ATO because he's the boss owns a giant company and he's like, oh, grand, what am I going to do with a grand? If I had a grand, I'd pay some bills.
All right, Ryan. Sam's on the line. Sam, what do you reckon? Any evidence of a spoiled child in your life?
Yeah, I've got a few, but when they expect something from every family member on their birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess you're a bit of a Kris Kringle guy, are you, Sam? Is that your go?
Nah.
Well, hey, all right.
Well, it depends how many kids you have. So when it's a birthday person in our house, I buy presents from those kids to give to the other kid for their birthday, so it looks like they've gone out and got a present. But that's not spoiling them. That's just covering each other's asses, really, isn't it? Yes. Hey, John.
Hello, Jane.
How you going? You know someone's spoilt when what?
When the parents put an elevator in the house so their kids don't have to walk up the stairs after school.
I'm old school, John. All I want to do one day is be old enough to have one of those chairs that goes up the rail of the stairs. What age can you get one of those? You've jumped the gun. It's like a shopping jeep.
You've probably got 5 years on you. You can do it.
That's all. That to me is the ultimate luxury item.
Like up the staircase.
A chair that goes up the rail of a staircase.
What a shame you look so stupid though when you do it.
You'd like a mobility scooter too, wouldn't you? I can see you zipping around one of the.
If the sports cat
develop
a mobility scooter, I'm on. Come on, HSV, pull a finger out and I'll be involved. You get the idea. We'll take your calls. 133353. Give us a bell.
You know you're spoilt when.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Paul Kelly will be playing live in the next few minutes. Can you believe that? The How to Make Gravy Tour is coming to Oz, and he's going to play that song for us soon. And then Jim Jeffries in the second hour as well.
Wow, it's a very exciting Thursday for us.
It's all happening. We're covering a fair bit of ground, are we not?
We're talking about spoilt kids because a guy in India got a young driver got a BMW as a present from his parents. Where's my Jaguar? Yeah. And he pushed the brand new BMW into the river because he wanted a Jag.
Yeah, indeed.
That is nuts.
All right. We're looking for evidence of spoiled behaviour.
I know
someone whose boy went on school camp to the Maldives.
Oh, really?
Big hello to Eddie McGuire.
Oh, really?
That sounds very...
Joe and Xander went to the Maldives.
I don't know. They live in a different world.
They really do.
Well, we'll go to some of the callers.
I asked one of his boys once, what's your favourite restaurant? He goes, Francois.
It's a very fancy restaurant.
All right, here we go.
Okay, Paul, you know you're spoilt when.
Yeah, I know you're spoilt when you spend $5,000 on a car and then you give it to the kids.
Yes.
It's in your name. You lose the demerit points. And they bitch and moan when you've got to get it serviced. And it's nearly 12 months down the track and insurance needs to be done again.
I want an umpa-lumpa now.
All right. Well, sounds like she needs a good hard talking to.
You're saying she's not paying her Rego and insurance and she should because you bought the car.
Yeah. And she's not even paying the rent.
Oh, good luck with that, Paul. She'll be there for another 10 years. She's smart.
We need you to come around here, yellow and black. Put a bit of that.
All right, we're on the case, Paul. Thank you. Kay's on the line. Hi, Kay.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Evidence of spoiled children.
Oh, okay. So I've got 4 adult kids, but when they were little, I was minding the next door neighbour's kids, and it came lunchtime, and you know, I said to them, "Okay, I'm going to make some sandwiches. What do you want on your sandwich?" Mm-hmm. And one of the little girls, who was about 5 at the time, turned around and said, "Oh, have you got any smoked salmon?"
I want an umpa lumpa now.
Wow. You know, my kids' lunches,
Vegemite, you know, cheese, peanut butter.
Kids' lunches freak me out at the moment. In my day, it was a Vegemite sandwich cut into triangles and some sultanas.
Simple.
Maybe a cheese stick. If you were lucky, a cheese stick.
Yeah.
These days, there's friggin' sushi.
Oh, it's nuts.
There's some
wraps. Everything.
Some kind of beluga. something or other.
Thank you, Kay.
Good on you, Kay.
And in fact, we got a prize for Kay because that's what she's remembered that for a while.
We will give you tickets to, I tell you what, we'll give you tickets to go see Paul Kelly. How's this? He's our special guest. He's going to join us in just a moment.
Crikey.
It's the Making Gravy Tour. Tickets go on sale Friday, August 23. You got tickets to go see Paul. You'll love it.
He's about to play for us too, Kay. So
well
tune
done.
In.
I cannot wait.
Okay, hey, Mauro.
Yes, Mauro or Morris, whichever you like.
All right, we'll call you Morris to be formal.
Big M, I'm going to call you. The M stuff.
Hey, do you know any spoilt kids?
Yeah, mine. Oh, he goes to a private school.
Yeah.
Which will remain unnamed. I've had a notice that he's been late 5 times already this term.
Yes.
And his solution to that, rather than catching the train, is to Uber.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
No.
And his nickname at school is Turbo. It should be Turtle.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So he catches an Uber. What? Not Uber Select or Uber Black, I hope. What Uber does he catch?
Any Uber.
Uber Paul, pick up some other kids along the way.
Ring some bells. Thank you, Mauro.
He probably gets Uber Eats for lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. That happens.
That does not happen.
It does happen.
Where?
To schools.
Shut up.
Schools in.
What do you mean?
All around the country. Some private schools in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. The Uber drivers go to the front of the school gate.
We got a note for our kids' school saying no more. It's been banned.
Yeah.
Because kids were doing it.
Not joking.
What's wrong with a tuck shop? What's wrong with
I agree.
With a lunch order?
Trust me, if we had a tuck shop here at Triple M, I'd be queued up every day to have a nice soft white bread Vegemite sandwich. That sounds delicious.
A Loganberry pie.
Oh, yum.
Pink ice donut.
A small chocolate Big M.
Yeah, Heaven.
Or a Raz.
Yum. That's all you need, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Good. You got any spoilt kids, Jen?
I do. I have 2 sons, 14 and 16, both very intelligent boys, yet every morning my husband gets up and makes their toast. And if he doesn't make their toast, they will go to the fridge and have an up and go or maybe make a bowl of cereal. But they will never, they just...
I think that's sweet.
...trying to make toast.
That happens in my house too.
My boys think I'll be making them toast when they're 14 or 15 years old.
No, that totally happens. I think it's nice.
Don't you think it's bad parenting on my behalf? Because I'm probably not being...
You're a soft touch. Enough.
No, Jen, no. Just let them have that bonding toasty time.
No.
That's what I say.
Okay.
Did you just groan, Jen?
I'll ask my boys when they're 14 or 15 if they expect that in a youth detention centre. We'll see how they go with that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Jaden's on the line. Jaden, evidence of spoiled children, mate.
One of my best, not my best friend, one of my friends was telling us what they got for their 18th birthday and they got $10,000 from their grandparents and they didn't think it was enough.
Oh.
How much?
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
Did you say $10,000?
Yeah, they put away $50 each week for them and they got give it to her on their 18th and they're like, this isn't enough.
Well, how do they get it? Like in a briefcase? Do you just snap it open and they demand you to count it out for them or?
No, they've got like a check kind of thing.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yes, that is spoilt. Totally spoilt.
Wowie. All right, we nearly have a winner. Let's try Gav.
All right.
Time for one more. Gav!
There you go.
Spoiled behaviour. Are they your kids?
No, thank God.
Who are they?
Okay, these children belong to two cousins of mine who are siblings who celebrate the birthdays of their children every month.
What?
Once a month. They have
once
it so...
Once a month.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's
so
ridiculous.
So, can't hear that. That's terrible. Do you know when I was growing up, I think I've said this before, I used to get two presents a year. One was for your birthday and one was for Christmas. And if you thought you were going to get a gift or a treat at any other time, you were a roll gold idiot. So it was not happening.
But kids are super
smart
today.
You'd have to talk for 3 months about what you wanted and what you were going to get.
You'd plan it
could
out.
You have it?
Can I get a game for PlayStation, please, Mum?
A special occasion.
Yeah. No, well, we're suckers.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Bad parenting on our behalf.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. That's a lot of spoilt kids in this country, too.
It drives me mad, this country. You know, I'm firm but fair.
Right.
Love kids.
You're
be
a soft
the
touch,
biggest softy we
sake.
Know.
How dare you?
Hey, Jim Jefferies, not far away, but now, guys.
Is it time?
It's time
Can
for
we
it.
Do? This is very exciting here at the station. The whole station's up and about on tippy toes at the moment.
Great
this
excitement.
Is as good as it gets.
One of Australia's great musos, the people's poet and national treasure, Paul Kelly.
Walking in slow motion like he'd just been hit.
before too long. Just announced his Making Gravy outdoor concert tour with Courtney Barnett, Kate Miller-Heidke and Marlon Williams will be hitting Perth, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane this December. And right now, here to perform his classic How to Make Gravy, please welcome back to the show, Paul Kelly.
Hello, Dan. It's Joe here. I hope you're keeping well. It's the 21st of December. Now they're ringing the last bells. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. Won't you kiss my kids on Christmas Day? Please, don't let them cry for me. I guess the brothers are driving down from Queensland. Stella's flying in from the coast. They say it's gonna be 100 degrees, even more maybe. But that won't stop the roast. Who's gonna make the gravy now? I bet it won't taste the same. Just that flour, salt, a little red wine, and don't forget a dollop of tomato sauce for sweetness and an extra tang. Give my love to Angus and to Frank and Dolly. Tell them all I'm sorry I screwed up this time. And look after Rita, I'll be thinking of her early Christmas morning when I'm standing in line. I hear Mary's got a new boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope he can hold his own. Do you remember the last one? What was his name again? What was his problem? Just a little too much cologne. Now Roger, well, I'm even gonna miss Roger, 'cause there's sure as hell no one in here I wanna fight. Pray to baby Jesus, have a Merry Christmas. I'm really gonna miss it. All the treasure and the trash. And later in the evening, you put on Junior Mervin. You put on Junior Mervin. And push the tables back. And you dance with the reader. I know you really like her. Just don't hold her too close. Oh, brother, please don't stab me in the back. I didn't mean to say that. It's just my mind that plays up. It multiplies each matter. Turns imagination into fact. You know I love her badly. She's the one that saved me. I'm gonna make some gravy. I'm gonna taste the fat. I tell her that I'm sorry. Yeah, I love her badly. Tell them all I'm sorry. Kiss the sleepy children for me. You know, one of these days I'll be making gravy. I'll be making plenty up Ammo Bay. Up Ammo, up Ammo, up Ammo, up Ammo Bay. I pay my bed. I'll be making grace.
Kelly on Kennedy Malloy, a goddamn national treasure.
Well done.
The How to Make Gravy Tour is going around Australia this December. Tickets available next Friday through frontiertouring.com. Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. James gone the blob.
Get in here now. Look what you've done.
Paul Kelly joining us.
I hope
studio.
You're happy, Paul Kelly. You made Jane now. Kennedy bawl like a baby.
Oh, sorry.
What is wrong with you? Why would you do that?
It's such a sweet song, and it's the opening bar. It's just when I hear the guitar start, I just hear it, and it makes me go the blub. Because I do think about people who are missing each other. I don't know anyone currently in prison, although Mick has been at his two
special. Can you get it together? We've got a special guest in the studio. You look terrible.
Really? Oh, my God. I don't want to look terrible in front of Paul Kelly.
Well, that's all right. I was just still getting over forgetting the words and singing Put on Junior Mervyn twice.
But anyway, I did pick that
up.
At least it rhymes.
It was good.
I thought it was a very unique version for Kennedy Malloy, so
special,
thank you for that.
Special version.
Yeah. Never say your stuff up, by the way.
Did Paul. You or did you not tell me that he made gravy for you?
Yes. A long time ago, yeah. Paul has
Explain.
Made. Well, I went
Came
to Paul's house
dinner.
For dinner.
Wow.
We had roast chicken.
Rob and Jane.
And Paul cooked, and we had...
What'd you cook?
Roast chicken.
And I was really, really good. And Rob kept kicking me under the table. So I've got to say something because Paul's making gravy. And the song, can I please say something?
Well, you know me, mate. I'm up for roast chicken any time.
Yeah.
Doesn't even
delicious.
Have to be dinner time. Okay. Doesn't even have to be major meal. Yeah. My tummy's rumbling right now. Just
when,
thinking of it.
When did you
it.
Write the song? Sorry, I just want to. How old is the song?
It's I wrote it in 97 or 97,
okay,
98.
So
I think.
About 21 years. Oh, yeah. Listen to me with my maths.
Yeah.
And how did it come about that you originally wrote? I don't know if I've ever asked you this question. How did you come to
it? I wrote it for a Christmas charity record that was put together by Lindsay Fields, who sings and plays guitar
Lindsay.
with
Yeah, he's a good
Johnny
guy.
Farnham.
Yeah.
Yep. And
John to you, Paul.
John, I just realized.
John. He's a bit partial to some roast chicken these days. been in a good paddock.
Sorry,
didn't,
Paul.
Didn't Gary Ablett used to have a roast chicken at half time?
That's right. He did back in the day.
Roast chicken?
Yeah.
Paul Vanderhaar was having a cigarette.
Yeah, that's right. Chicken loading. Yeah.
Good Lord. So it was for a special charity. God, they must have just gone, thanks very much for that song, by the way. Beats Jingle Bells.
Now, this is a great tour. And I think I told you this last time when you were in Melbourne and you were about to go on at the My Music Bowl and you were rehearsing. You were doing a sound check, I think, the day before, and we were stuck in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an absolutely massive traffic jam going through the Botanical Gardens, but no one cared because you were sound checking.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It was the best natured traffic jam I've ever been in. Everyone had their windows down.
Singing
I was listening
along.
To you for free as we sat there in the beautiful Botanical Gardens listening to Paul Kelly going, as traffic jams go, this is my all-time favourite. So
that's good.
There you go.
Hey, Paul, you are going to, thank goodness, this is the third year in a row you are going to do the Making Gravy Tour, which is wonderful, goes right around the country, Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. You can find the dates. And guess what? It's around December because it's around Christmas, which makes a lot of sense. And you've got a great gang on the road.
Who's
with you.
In it, Jane? Let's go through this.
Oh, well, I thought Paul might tell us.
You tell me. Come on.
Courtney Barnett, Kate Miller-Hardkey, Marlon Williams, and special guest in Sydney, Thelma Plum as well.
Have you ever heard about Highly Strung?
Oh.
Have you thought about having Highly Strung
it's
on
Jane's
card,
band.
Which is Jane's old band?
This
Jane
is very draining, I'm sorry.
It was very, very
we
good.
We broke up a very... Dan Warner I used to sing with, you know Dan.
Yeah,
but
I know Dan.
It's a long time ago, and Mick it's does this and embarrasses me in front of
Would you at least
musicians.
Hear them play? Would you?
We don't play anymore. We don't play anymore.
Well, reform.
Yeah, exactly. You could help out.
Come on, you've got something to shoot for. This could be...
We'll try.
Mick plays cowbell, Paul. I don't know whether you realise.
I remember you guys. Remember Highly
You
Strong.
Do?
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Wow.
Well...
What an honour.
It is.
Yeah. I'm always...
Talking about a dishonour.
Hey,
so
if
known
if you
for his cowbell.
For anything, if you
You're
ever
so
think
competitive.
Of a, think
Come
of a
on.
Reason, okay. I'm throwing my hat in the ring.
Did you know that I heard that your song with Dan,
Every Day My Mother's Voice,
is one of the most played tracks on Triple M?
It is.
It's unbelievable.
Since he told me that the other day.
How's Dan going? Have you seen him since he's
in,
he's
in
become
love.
A dad?
He's in love.
He's love. He's got a child. He's out there.
Yeah. No, it's going really well.
It is. He's a good egg. Mate, we can't thank you enough for coming in. We want to keep in touch with you as you go around, and we'll keep praying this because this will be one of the great tours. the summer.
And Brisbane are the lucky city to get Paul on Gravy Day, which happens to be the 21st of December.
What's Gravy Day?
21st of December.
It's in the song.
It's a Saturday, mate.
Didn't you listen to the words?
Mate, I got stung up when you
went. Didn't listen to the new version.
Well, you can't even remember them.
gave you a special version. You
won't exactly. One off.
Thanks for coming. And the Richmond theme song, we're still working on that.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
There's just a version I know.
Their
you
words
could,
he can't remember. For sure.
Always a pleasure, Paul Kelly. Thanks for swinging by and thank you for that. It was wonderful. Yeah, so my staff loved it. Jane cried. Our work here is done.
All right. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, Jane's put the tissues away and is ready to rejoin the rest
it.
Of us.
Come on, Jane. Oh,
how can you resist? It's that song.
Just
it's
once when we've got a guest.
It's the way.
Knock out the blub.
I don't think I was the only one. Well, a few other girls in the office were having a little week.
Moving stuff very with special. Paul Kelly.
It was.
Coming up. Gone Wild. You've been known to go to the blub in this segment too.
I have, but there's more amusing stories today.
Well, give us one.
One involves some food product that you get from the anal glands of beavers.
Oh,
okay.
Now, I hope you're not eating
orange Tic Tacs?
I hope you're not eating a Lamington or a vanilla slice at the moment.
Wow, okay.
But, you know,
we'll get
it's
to
bizarre,
the
bizarre news. There's lots of amazing stories, actually. A human-sized penguin.
All right. There's lots of news from the penguin world, let me tell you about that. Hey, well, also, I've watched an episode of Game of Thrones.
Well, that's just so unscintillating.
Really good
too soon.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but to start the hour, let's kick it off with this bloke.
The last time Jim Jefferies joined us, he was struggling to explain Australia's obsession with gambling to Americans.
When you're a kid, did your dad ever, like, during the Melbourne Cup, go, give me 50 cents and you pick a horse and then they go off and gamble for you? That doesn't happen over here. I've told people in America about that. My parents would encourage me to gamble as a child and they go, oh, is it all right? Did you go into foster care? We are epic gamblers. We lose about $1,700 per person per year and the country that comes second is like $900. We're the worst gamblers in the world. And I would have a bet on that going on for a long time.
Live from the US, please welcome back Jim Jefferies.
Hello, Jim.
Thank you. Yeah. I was just chuckling to myself back then. I was very...
Hey, you're really funny. You should do this for a living, Jim.
Yeah, I forgot I even said all those things. They're all very accurate.
Well, you did, and they're on record, and you may well be sued by many people for things you've said over the journey. You're back home. Are you in LA? Is that where we're talking to you?
I'm back home. We have the big news story from Australia is that someone stopped a crime with a milk crate.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone in America's talking about that, and because I'm like the anti-gun guy over there, I'm like, all right. The only way to stop a bad guy with a milk crate is a good guy with a milk crate.
The milk was out of use by, I should point out, which makes it more lethal. Do you know in the old, so in America, when you watch Cops in America, it's got all the, you know, they've got everything. They've got tasers and they've got guns and they're all this. And Glenn Robbins pointed this out to me once. We were watching an Australian version of Cops and there was a couple of fat cops sitting around trying to control a guy. They couldn't work out what to do, so they got in the car and ran him over. Very, very Australian.
Ingenuity of the Australian police force.
It's funny, on my TV show, we did a ride-along with the Dutch police, and we did a ride-along with the British police, and in an upcoming episode, we do a ride-along with the Australian cops in the western suburbs of Sydney, and the main cop in the car is my brother.
Oh, you're joking.
Wow. Yeah. We signed on. And the main cop's my brother, and we didn't find any crime. So all I did was stir him up about things about me and mum and, you know, about my childhood. Like, do you remember when you used to hold me down and crack me toes for no apparent reason? That was brutal. There's one bit. I've already seen the footage. I'm sitting in the car with him, and I go, so what amount of cocaine is an arrestable amount of cocaine? And they said any amount. And I go, but if there was a guy in the car with you with cocaine, you wouldn't do anything, would you?
Hey, it's a diverse family. You've got your brother is a cop, you as a stand-up. You've got a young boy, your own son, Hank. What hopes do you have for him?
Oh, he goes to the fanciest private school in Australia.
Does he?
Yeah. All the other parents are famous people and all type of stuff, and they bring me into the school about a month ago, me and his mum, and they go, "Oh, we got a problem with Hanky, he can't read." And right. I went, 40 grand a year, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. I should be bringing you into my office, going, this fella can't read.
Jim, it's really nuts when you go to those stupid parent-teacher meetings, isn't it? Even when they're so little. I remember going to one when they said one of our kids who was three, his scissor grip wasn't quite correct. What goes on
but
there?
His wedgie is excellent. Yeah.
He couldn't stab a person if he wanted to.
So what do you do? Correct. What do you do next from then when they're in little school? Do you sort of send them off? What kind of high school opportunities are there?
He does all this stuff, the classes after he does animation one day and all that type of stuff. But the school, they say it's that one fee, and then you get a phone call where they go, we're doing a fundraiser. You go, but I've already raised the funds. I gave them to you. What do you need more funds? If you want 42 grand a year, just say it. What are you lying to me for? And they have these fairs where you can go anywhere from $50 a ticket to $15,000.
Get out.
For $15,000, you'll get a dedicated tweet from the school. I'm like, geez, that's all right, isn't it? Hey, that's all right. I should start charging that. I'll send you out a dedicated tweet where I mention you.
I've got twin boys, and I send them to a private school, but I only enrolled one of them, and I send them on alternate days. It's one set of books. It's an all good, Jim.
What you should do is you should just send one and send the other one to a bad school and see if it is environment or it's to your own scientific experiment.
Hey, Jim, hang around. We've got more to talk to you about. We'll be back with more Jim after this.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jim Jefferies is with us. By the way, the new season of the Jim Jefferies Show is coming soon to Foxtel.
Can't
Express
wait.
From the US. This is Kennedy Malloy.
What can we look forward to in the new season, mate?
We went through Asia and did a whole lot of field pieces. So we got a lot of me just hanging out in Thailand and Hong Kong. We talk about all the problems that are going on there with the government or whatever. It turns out there's shit going on everywhere. This
One of my favourite episodes was you, I think it was at Singapore, and you were doing a stand-up comic, and you found that wonderful gay stand-up comedian who is genuinely one of the funniest blokes I reckon I've ever seen.
Sam C, he's a very funny guy. Wow. Sam C, yeah. He came and stayed at my house for a while. It's a bit off note.
Well, speaking of guests you've got in the house, I believe young Amos Gill's still shacking up with you.
Amos is walking around. All he does is get on the dating apps and brings over an unsuitable young lady over to the house.
Is that amusing to you to see these birds come over?
I'm just this old man that just goes, I remember the young girls who used to come over.
He's like an English backpacker. You'll never get him out.
Trust me. He's got squatter's rights now. He doesn't move.
Fantastic. Now, have I heard you've taken up golf? This fascinates me because I love golf. It's just a great thing
to do. I think it excites you if Jim says he's taking it up.
I've taken it up just because I figure this. I've got to do something with my old, when I'm old. And this country doesn't have lawn bowls.
That's right.
They don't have lawn bowls in LA.
Yeah, they don't. What do the old people do? Like in Australia, they all go off and play.
They moved to Florida, I think.
Or they cook meth or something like that.
I don't mean to put a damper on the whole thing, but my mother passed a couple of months ago, and then I flew out to Australia for the funeral. And then afterwards, my dad had the wake at the Tarramurra Bowling Club.
Oh, beautiful. Right?
Top shelf.
Yeah, went up to Tarramurra Bowling Club. All the bowlers came, and some of them apologised. They said, we're sorry we didn't make it to your mother's funeral, because there was three other funerals on that day. They all had to pick the old person they liked the most who just died.
Oh, no, that's hilarious.
Well, that's the thing. Old people over here, you can either just get into gambling or golf or something. There's no old person. Yeah. You try to explain lawn bowls. That's probably why your movie didn't do that well over here. They couldn't get the nuances.
That's right.
I probably thought it was a made-up game. Yeah.
And I called them pokies, not the slots. I think that's a major difference. I love golf. It's the only thing I can't do with my boys because I cannot control my swearing. and right. 1 hour of golf with me, and those boys come back with potty mouths. So
yeah, that's the only thing you can't do,
that's
eh?
That's the only thing
you
I can't
think of anything else in the whole world.
No, otherwise they're pretty battle-hardened.
So, tell Jim what you show your kids and you get in big trouble for their favourite TV.
Jackass.
Okay, mate, I'm friends with Steve-O.
Oh, right?
Steve-O does stand-up around here in LA, right? So my son started watching Fails. My son, you know these things on the internet where you watch Fails? Yeah. Yeah. People fall over, and then one day, because I got punched in the head at the Comedy Store in Manchester in 2006,
famously,
and he runs upstairs, and he'd been watching Fails, and he's like, "Dad, you're one of the Fails." You know the thing? And I'm like, "Oh, I've made it, right?" So I said, "I know a movie that's got the best Fails you've ever seen." And then I showed him the Portaloo thing with all the poo, where Steve-O going out, and I said, "I'm friends with that guy," and my son was like, "You can't be. There's no way you wouldn't know that guy who is in the Portaloo being covered in poo." But the thing is, there's certain ones you can watch, and you can go, "Oh yeah, the kids could watch that," and then you see like one of their penises dressed up as a mouse, and you go, "We've got to fast forward through this."
You've got to watch it with your hand on the fast forward button, high five. But I tell you what, when there's a guy in a nappy over a pit full of alligators and they're trying to bite a bit of ham off the back of his ass, I've got two boys on my couch punching the air going, "This is as good as it gets, Dad."
You're two of the most aspirational Australian fathers I can think of, Jim and Nick.
I once auditioned. They had a sitcom for Johnny Knoxville like that was going to be like Everyone Loves Chris about his childhood. I got down to the final two to play Knoxville's dad, and in the end it went to David Keckney, you know, the bald guy out of Anchorman.
Yeah.
Not much of a story, just a brag, really.
I'll tell you a good Johnny Knoxville story. He came to Sydney once to do a film, open a film he was in, and I have this as a true story from the limo driver who drove him around. He picked him up from the airport. He drove him around town. All he did was go to parties for 3 days, right? He drove him back to the airport. He never checked into a hotel. the whole time he was just on the move.
Which is hard with the new lockout laws, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to pull him for one of our parenting groups. Hey, mate, great to catch up with you, Jim. We're looking forward to doing this from time to time. Are you stand-upping at the moment? What are you doing?
I'm going on the road a little bit. I just got back from doing Vegas, and I'm going to have to do Boston next weekend. But I think I'm planning an Australian tour maybe next year's December. I'm about to tour Europe in December, so I've got stuff going on.
Beautiful stuff, mate.
Hey, Jim, we really appreciate and our audience loves hearing you. So thanks again for chatting with us today. And Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks for having me.
Good on you.
Cheers, man.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy. Nick and Jane. Gone Wild.
Let's get into it. This thing is full as a goog. May I start, please,
yes.
Jane?
Yes,
if
please.
Guess what? Scientists. Claim they've found the oldest living shark. They believe they may have discovered the oldest living vertebrae, which I thought was sure. But no, it's a shark that they say could be 512 years old.
I don't believe
you. Yes. Living? Yes.
I don't believe it.
512 years old, which means it's older than Shakespeare, which means, and this could have happened.
Yeah.
Shakespeare may have punched his shark in the nose, McFanning style.
Well, it's possible it could have happened.
If you imagine Shakespeare was out swimming in soggy pantaloons, and he's out there, he gets attacked by a shark, all of a sudden he turns around, headlock, bang, this shark could
this
have
is
been punched.
Really incredible. I didn't know any living thing can live to 500 years old.
It's a massive... Come on. Really? Seen the Golden Girls? The massive Greenland shark.
Wow.
That was found in the North Atlantic Ocean, 512. They're guessing because these things only grow like 1 centimetre a year. And that's a staggering 5.5 metres. You do the maths. This is amazing. I love this shark. Mm. I don't want to be served it at my fish and chip shop.
Bit tough. No.
I don't want to have the old flake.
No.
I'll have minimum chips, 2 dimmies. And that really gnarly-looking piece of flake up the back.
Do you know what they've found to have reindeer and even horses in their stomachs? These sharks?
These sharks? Really?
Yeah. I said they've found remains.
That's like a businessman's lunch.
Yeah. It's all you can eat.
It's like a time capsule.
And apparently people do in Iceland, because there's not much else to do, They have been known to eat their flesh. It's a delicacy, but it is toxic if it's not prepared the right way. I don't know why how you do that, but you know.
Ah, good stuff.
That is bizarre. I cannot get over that. I don't, and I still don't believe it. It's not a joke.
All right. Something you want to...
Well, I've got a couple of penguin stories, and everyone loves a penguin.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Oh, sorry.
Fire away. Can I start with the penguins? I just want to... This is very interesting. There's two gay penguins. Well, a gay penguin couple.
Yeah.
They're at a German zoo.
Mm.
And this happens a bit with penguins. I should give you some backstory. Out of all the animals in the animal kingdom, I think the penguin is the most disposed to being gay. Okay. You may remember, famously, there's a pair of gay penguins in a zoo in Toronto.
Right. Yeah.
And then they separated them. And it caused such an outroar. People picketed the thing.
Correct, yes.
And they had to put the penguins back together. Right. So it's a great love story.
Yeah.
Well, they've obviously learnt their lesson because at the German zoo, and who knows what's going on at a German zoo, it's all a bit S&M probably down there, but there's a gay penguin couple. They've been trying and they've been hanging out and clearly they're gay. They don't know what to do. So guess what they've done?
What?
The zoo officials gave them an egg.
Oh,
to nurture. So now
that's
it's like, isn't that wonderful?
That's awesome.
It's a great story. And
well, you said because they're German penguins, and I know you won't know this, but maybe some people will. It's pretty obscure, the link I'm going to try and do.
Here we go.
I'm going to link it to Cabaret because it reminds me of one of the songs in it, Two Ladies. Just I'm thinking of the penguins. Have we got the two ladies?
Two ladies. Two ladies. I'm so old.
Well, I tell you what, being gay,
yes,
I'd reckon
and
that,
German.
I reckon these penguins would be fans of musical theatre.
Me too.
Do you know what? I was wondering why penguins are gay, and I thought it's not that surprising to me now I think about it. In fact, it could be a reason why they waddle.
Hey, hello. Excuse me. All right, we'll move on to a human-sized penguin. Now, wouldn't that be unreal? Wouldn't that be cool to see a human-sized penguin? Found in North Canterbury.
Oh, right.
In our friends across the ditch.
Yep.
In New Zealand. And, well, it's a fossil site. They believe there was a penguin, a dinosaur penguin, I suppose.
Right. Fossil site. Studio audience of Studio 10.
Well, they weighed up to 80 kilos, about 1.6 metres tall. We're alive 56 million and 66 million years ago, which is the Cretaceous period.
Yeah.
One of the largest penguins ever discovered was found, and they've got it there. It's really extraordinary, but I don't know how they died out. Well,
what fish does it eat? Does it eat giant fish?
Yeah.
Does it eat like flounders? Instead of giving it like, what do they normally eat? Like sardines and stuff.
No, it's that big shark.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a Batman villain.
Could be, indeed.
Just here he comes.
All right.
The real penguin.
Will we come back? Because I've got
a few
more
stories.
Let's come back.
Yeah, there's plenty more to get through.
Stick around. This is Gone Wild on Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats. And even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy. You're listening to Gone Wild.
When you're breeding animals, and especially, I guess, for products, you know, for pigs, when you've got pigs, you know, there's special types of pigs that
like
people
what,
covet.
What are they?
Well, you know, in Spain, like a jamon, you know, there's special types.
Oh, you're
of
talking
pigs.
About cuts of meat.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about types of pig. Yeah. How dare you?
Well, I'm.
So that's it. That's how you see pigs, is it?
I'm saying
just a tummy rumbler.
It's nothing
for you,
to do with
it?
Me. I'm saying that two West Australian pig farmers have got into big trouble because they're involved in a Danish pig semen smuggling heist.
The old Danish semen pig smuggling heist.
Let's hear a little bit about how this was reported.
Two Danish nationals have been jailed for illegally importing pig semen into WA. The duo helped run a secret breeding program out of GD Pork's Pinjarra piggery, cheating Australia's quarantine laws for years. The semen was smuggled in by the company's investors in Denmark and was used to impregnate at least 200 pigs.
Right.
Okay. They brought that in shampoo bottles. Now that's that is conditioner you do not want to get mixed up.
My hair is very soft.
It is still soft.
What
is that new product? But why are you doing that?
But that would
that's
be
so
some,
elaborate.
That
isn't
would
it?
Be some kind of health treatment these days.
I suppose
down at the old day spa.
Yes.
That's a very elaborate scheme to get coming over here with their semen, getting our pigs pregnant.
Yes,
yeah, it's just not on.
It spawned more than 2,000 piglets.
Oh,
how was it smuggled in? That's what I worried about. Careful, girls.
That's what I'm saying, in the shampoo bottles.
Oh, well. Mm. There's a little issue there.
Okay.
Hey, can I do one?
Yes, you can.
Dog therapy. Now, this is, where in the world are we? I think we're in Melbourne at the moment. Dog therapy clinics proving popular for urban poochers who are suffering from anxiety.
Oh, dog therapy clinics for dogs.
These are for dogs.
Oh, not people. So no. The dogs aren't helping the people, which they do.
No, these are for dogs who are suffering from anxiety. Vets have noticed an increase in anxiety amongst popular breeds of dogs, saying dogs who live in cities need mental stimulation, and dog therapy and behavioural classes are increasing in popularity. And I can understand this.
I know exactly why.
A dog's life is highly anxious. I mean, you've got to go, I don't know, what do? Do I catch a frisbee today? Yeah. Do I dry up a cushion? I just don't know anymore. I've got too many choices. Doc, give me a pill. Oh. Give me a pill. I've been riding in the back of a ute all day. Then I had to go and bite a sprinkler. I just don't know. I can't cram it all in, Doc. It's getting to me, Doc. Well, the whole idea of a dog being stressed out. Oh, Doc, you don't know what it's like. Just dragging your ass around in circles on the ground all day. Try humping your owner's leg.
Oh.
What is going on? What could a dog honestly suffer from for anxiety? What?
I beg your pardon.
What is an anxious
because
day for a dog?
Because they're left alone all day. People shouldn't have dogs. If you're going to go out and you leave your dog in a backyard from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., your dog's going to get anxious. It's going to rip the backyard apart and it's bored to tears because they need people.
Just a mental note to anyone in my life. I'll be okay if you leave me at home on my own all day.
He's a good boy.
But that's you, Mickey. Mickey likes that.
I will be more than okay with that. I'll duke it out. It might be mentally tough for me, but I'm quite prepared to do it. What do you got?
Well, one of the patients is two-year-old Vader, this dog. It's a Kelpie.
Right.
And it's kept in the city and it's kept inside all day. And the owner's going, I don't know what's wrong with this dog. Get it some sheep.
Get it some sheep. That's an honest one.
There you go.
My dad had a cattle dog called Tigger and he moved to Vanuatu and he took the dog with him, realising this might be not fair on the dog. Because it's on an island, on a lagoon, surrounded by water, it taught itself to fish.
Oh, my God.
How good is this? So Tigger used to stand it in the water motionless for up to an hour and a half.
What a genius.
And then just go whack and come up with a fish. Come up with a wagging tail and drop it off at our feet.
Nuts.
And for exercise, Dad would take it out in the back of a tinny and we'd take it out for about a mile and a half. Drop off Tigger, then we would come back into the boat and wait on the shoreline. And I swear to you, about 35 minutes later, paddling over the horizon, here he comes.
That's what dogs need.
What an awesome
All right,
dog.
Well, speaking, I've got one more. I've got a cat.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, why don't we hear the newsreader tell this story about this cat?
The 4-year-old feline escaped from his carrier and vanished while on his way to board a Virgin flight.
I am so thankful for everyone who.
It was discovered around the airport's service roads near a fuel depot. Virgin is reviewing its processes and is still investigating how Cookie escaped and why his empty carrier was loaded onto the Cairns-bound plane.
Cookie the cat.
Cookie.
What happened though? The family were moving overseas and Cookie was sent up to Cairns to go and live with other people.
Right.
Mm. Cookie's gone, I am on to you.
I'm
not falling for that one.
That could have cost him one of his 9 lives.
It could have. Very nice link.
All right. Hey, are we all good?
I think we're all done? Yes, I think so.
Thank you. Well done, Animal Kingdom. You've done it again. You never cease to fascinate.
You never let us down.
Either of us.
That's gone wild. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
All thanks to HSV and the Series 2 Sportscat. You can find your dealer, hsv.com.au.
Sportscat.
Yeah.
You just mentioned the name and I'm magically transported.
You light up
to the cabin. I'm sitting there behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the open road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing some of the great driving music appropriate for the sports cat.
Okay,
which takes it above and
beyond. Do you want to pick you a song to play?
Well,
if you're driving along the sports cat, you want to be, you're a tough guy.
Well, you've got to choose which ones are any good to listen to.
Yeah, all right.
All right, fire away.
How about this?
Yes! I got the window down, my elbows out.
Pedal to the metal.
What's that, nature? Here I go. I can see myself snaking through the desert.
Okay. I'll just press the button on the sports cat and let's play this one.
No. No.
No Africa.
No, no. Get it off, Dave. Get it off.
Yeah, the box.
Yeah, baby. Hey girls, I'm in the sports cat.
Wow.
Wow, look at him go.
Needle lift ladies.
Let's press that button again.
Don't even strap yourself in.
Okay.
No. No.
Really?
Stop it. Dave. That well, that, that is totally. No. Totally
that'll
inappropriate.
Destroy the sports.
Give me some fooies again. The sports cat. There it is. You love it. I love it. There it is.
Yeah, the best. There you go.
There's, I'm getting bonnet bulge. I've got bonnet bulge already. Just
you've
got like
to get on board
cat.
For all the style.
All right. HSV.com.au to find your dealer. Now, tonight, the front bar is back on the TV. Channel 7, checked out. You got one of the greats, Peter Landy.
Peter Landy is on
Can't
the show.
Wait.
Why don't you see some of the footage we've dug up? And Craig Starcevich.
Oh,
I'll be swinging by. I think we've got
Stas.
Some. Yeah, that's right. He's, do you remember I showed you a picture of him in a cookbook?
Yes, you did.
It may
indeed.
Come up.
Oh, that's good.
It may come up. Hey, okay. On the show tonight, we've got some tickets to give away.
Yep.
It's going to be a massive show, 8:30, Channel
well,
7
Well, people will be
tonight.
Lucky if they get those tickets. What's the number they have to call?
133353.
Got to get to call Melbourne to be
right
in it.
Now.
Right now.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
By the way, those front bar tickets have gone. Thank you for calling. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy,
snapped
Jane
up.
Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
No scalping.
Here. No.
All right.
No, not at all.
See you there. Should be a good one. Cannot wait. I'll good. Obviously, I've got the show to do, and then immediately
yes,
after
have.
That, I'll be home.
No, why don't you go out with everybody after?
No, I'm going
to
watch episode
go out with everyone after
of season 5. Can you believe it? Season 5. I'm already up there. Anyone who's seen season 5, by the way?
Everybody has seen season 5.
Don't talk about it in front of me, because I have a feeling this is going to be a good one.
So you saw the first episode?
I saw the first episode last night.
Of season 5.
Got off to a flyer. A lot of sordid stuff.
Really?
Yep. I'm trying to go back that far. It was so long ago I saw it.
Well,
like a few years ago now.
Cersei's blaming Jaime for Dad's death because, you know.
Tyrion.
Well, he left Tyrion.
Killed him with the.
Let him out of the dungeon. Yes. He's crossbowed him on the toot. By the way, that's how I want to go. if I could
like
choose
Elvis.
Anyway.
You, Elvis, well, and Tyrion's dad.
Like Tyrion's dad. He got crowbarred, like punching one out on
has
the
toot. Has Cersei got short hair or long hair at the moment?
It's none of your business, James.
Well, it's just, very important.
No, she's not. It's very good. But she's great. She's hot. I wish she'd sleep with me, but
hot-ish.
Unfortunately I'm not related to her. She ran into Lancel last night. He's her cousin. She slept with him too. Was that the go back
she's
then, was
cheap.
It?
She's pretty cheap. It's an easy lay.
How dare you?
How dare I? You're suddenly defending.
I've got a soft spot for
Cersei.
Her. Do you know what? She's going
to
come.
You won't soon.
She's going to come good. Mm. Do you know what? Here's my tip. At the end of
what
this,
is that?
She will rule the kingdoms because she'll be deemed
oh,
to be fair and honest.
She'll
and
be fair and good, will she? Interesting.
Someone else got done in a brothel with a male prostitute. It's really got off to a flyer.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of stuff.
Every
there.
See, there's a formula. This is what happens. There's always a brothel.
Littlefinger's
always
still with Sansa. What's happening?
What
there?
Have I told you about Littlefinger?
I've said,
don't you talk about
why
Littlefinger
they call
around
Littlefinger?
Me. You haven't got to that bit yet?
No, I haven't. I'm still grappling with it. Let me get this straight.
Wait till you find out why he's called Littlefinger.
Let me get this straight. So there's
seven kingdoms.
And only one could rule. Fascinating stuff.
Yep.
If anyone's seen episode 2, season 5,
oh my God.
Spoiler alert, don't tell me.
Charlie Pickering is on the show tomorrow. We're looking forward to a big Friday. Kennedy Malloy, grab the podcast from today's. It was a ripper. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Another premium selection of Kennedy Malloy. For a premium sports 4x4 range, check out the new Series 2 HSV Sportscat with sports suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard.